Two Minnesota mechanical engineers, Sven and Ole, were standing at the base of a flagpole looking up. A woman walked by and asked what they were doing. "We are supposed to find the height of the flagpole," said Sven, "and we do not have a ladder." The woman took a wrench from her purse, loosened a few bolts, and laid the pole down. She then took a tape measure, took a measurement, and said 18 feet 6 inches, and walked away. Ole shook his head and laughed. "Ain't that just like a woman? We ask for the height, and she gives us the length." Sven and Ole are now working for the city of St. Paul in charge of fixing the potholes. Looking at things from a different perspective is a message I hear in this week's readings, and an idea I would like to share with you today. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." The last two words from last Sunday's gospel was, "Follow me." And then in today's first reading, we see Paul and Barnabas doing just that, following Jesus. They were proclaiming the good news of Jesus not only to the chosen people, the Jews, but they also say the faith was also available to their pagan neighbors, the Gentiles. However, the Jews were unable to accept the message. The Jews needed to look at this message differently. Paul's message called for an openness to the new. It called for metanoia, a conversion that reorients our lives. Metanoia usually starts with confusion, the uncomfortable feeling that my truth may not be completely right. For the Jews who rejected Paul, it may have seemed easier to reject the new insight than discern whether it was a new way to look at things. And so for us on this day in 2019, are there areas in our lives where we need metanoia, a conversion that reorients how we look at a thing or things that affect our life and may need a reorientation? We have an example of this in our community as a number of young members have been preparing for confirmation. They have looked at their faith and what it means to them, and I am pretty certain that they are at a different place today than they were when they started the process. And all of this culminates this week as they receive the sacrament of confirmation on Tuesday. If you decide you would like to spend some time reflecting on and discerning your life, I have a suggestion as to something that might help. Recently, I heard about, purchased, and am reading a book by David Brooks, The Second Mountain, The Quest for a Moral Life. The jacket of the book says this: "Every so often, you meet people who radiate joy, who seem to know why they were put in this earth, who glow with a kind of inner light. Life for these people has often followed what we might think of as a two-mountain shape. They get out of school, they start a career, and they begin climbing the mountain they thought they were meant to climb. The goals on that first mountain are the ones our culture endorses: to be a success, to make a mark, to experience personal happiness. But when they get to that top of that mountain, something happens. They look around and find the view unsatisfying. They realize, this wasn't my mountain after all. There's another bigger mountain out there, a second mountain. And so they embark on a new journey. On the second mountain, life moves from self-centered to other-centered. They want the things that are truly worth wanting, not the things other people tell them to want. They embrace a life of interdependence, not independence. They move from the I to the we. They surrender to a life of commitment. In the second mountain, David Brooks explores the four commitments that define a life of meaning and purpose to a spouse and family, to a vocation, to a philosophy or faith, to a community. Our personal fulfillment depends on how will we choose and execute these commitments. You might want to take a look at this book. One area we may want to look at with new eyes is this. We see in our own political scene and in other leaders around the world the stirring up of fear and hatred for the other, whether that means race, culture, religion, or people with another viewpoint. We live in a rapidly changing world, and we have not learned how to cope with this rapid change. That leads to fear, and fear leads to hatred. Fear and hatred cannot be the principles on which we as Christians live and act. Our mission is to proclaim God's love for all people and to foster reconciliation and healing in our world. Today's readings remind us that God continues to call us to newness, to that which is greater than our expectations. We must hold lightly to our certainties if we desire to hear the voice of the shepherd. The one thing of which we can be sure is that the shepherd is always trying to lead us beyond where we are into a greater, broader, deeper love.